I once knew a seasoned preacher at seminary who had three great sermons. And every time he would climb up to the pulpit, we would place bets in the choir about which sermon we were going to hear. Whatever the scripture, or whatever the feast or context, he would craftfully adapt them to one of those trademark sermons he had. The most powerful of all of these sermons was titled, "It's Not About Information, It's About Relationship." While we were amused that this priest had perfected only three sermons over the course of his 50 years of ministry, I've come to realize one thing, that this sums up a great overarching theme of the biblical love story, the message of the gospel. It's not about information, it's about relationship. Isn't that a great summary of what Trinity is all about? Today we are here to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Trinity. That is one of the celebrations of the Christian year that commemorates a reality and a doctrine of three persons rather than an event. On Trinity Sunday, Christians remember and honor the eternal God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Trinity Sunday is celebrated the Sunday after Pentecost and lasts only one day, which is symbolic of the unity of the Trinity. Let's take a closer look at the role Trinity plays in our liturgical life. We hear these words every Sunday from the pulpit. I speak to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Sacramental actions are done in this name. We baptize in the name of those three persons of the same binding unity. And after every psalm or canticle, in morning and evening prayer, we recite something called the Gloria Patri, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the individual prayers that we hear anytime we gather as the church in a liturgical action has three components: address the Father, submit our request to God through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So what's Trinity? Essentially, the Trinity is the belief that God is one in essence, but distinct in person. How can this be? Well, think of the sight of two eyes. The eyes are distinct, yet one and undivided in their sight. The reason that I can so confidently say that recently I was at the dentist. He accidentally touched an optical nerve on my left eye, and all of a sudden I started seeing two. And I asked him if it was normal. He said, "Oh yeah, it's normal." Then he said he lied to me. Or think about a musical chord, a C major chord. We have three notes, C, E, and G, and all are distinct notes, but joined together as one chord, the sound is richer and more dynamic than if they were played individually. Many people across the history, theologians, Christians, non-Christians, have attempted to understand this peculiar Christian dogma in long debates. As a matter of fact, the long statement of faith we say, the Nicene Creed, after the sermon, was written for the purpose of rightly understanding the core of our faith, Trinity. You want to understand Trinity? Recite the Nicene Creed. But the more church studies and thinks about the Trinity, the more we see that the best way to describe Trinity is talking about what Trinity is not. It's not three different gods, like my father would like to think when we debate. And when I get mad at him, I make a hand gesture and I say, "See, it's Trinity. I believe in the Trinity, three persons of the Trinity and one God." And he gets very mad about that. It's not that God created the Son and the Holy Spirit, that there's a time frame on how they came to be. Because it's meant to be a mystery. Like the term Greek baklava, everyone knows that there is no such thing. In my family, because it's a hard concept to logically believe that it's originated in a country other than Turkey. Trinity is not about information. For many have attempted to have that, but it's about a relationship of three persons, a community of perfect love, a community that is binding, that is building each other, a community where no sacrifice is too much. Past week, I spent a couple of days with my family systems group in Boston. And in this conference, we further studied the emotional systems, the work of Mary Bowen and Ed Friedman. And we talked about concepts like functioning and anxiety and triangles, and how triangles between three persons can be healthy or destructive. For our group, I was able to find a meme to share for my presentation. Trinity, the only love triangle that works. Don't get any ideas. To understand this triangle, we must realize that Christ's teaching from today's gospel is not a primary matter of doctrine, but his teaching is indistinguishable from his person. It is Jesus' person we must receive and accept. The wonder of Christian life is that we are invited to have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God so loved the world that he revealed his love through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and we can believe and abide in that truth through the Holy Spirit. Our Lord makes it clear to his apostles that Father sent him into the world. He is the way and the truth and the life. But they are not satisfied. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And he answers, have I been with you so long a time that you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Even the apostles does not get Trinity completely. Then there is hope for us. Because now the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit after the Pentecost. Maybe, just maybe, the placement of this Sunday is not a coincidence at all. One Sunday after the Pentecost, after 50 days of Easter is over, we celebrate the Trinity as the final celebration of the church's year, after Christ's resurrection and ascension. And we have completed a complete cycle started at Advent. We had birth, the epiphany, the miracles, the life, and the passion and resurrection. And now we enter in a time in the church where we will spend almost 6 months contemplating these divine mysteries, and perhaps the mystery itself, the Trinity. We have all the information, but as far as information goes, it means absolutely nothing if we don't seek a relationship that transforms our daily living. God, as the ultimate overfunctioner, continues to seek us out by emptying himself, having died on the cross, and gives us a meaning to our meaningless suffering, even if we deny him over and over again. As Jesus said, all that the Father has is his, and he has done nothing but give his humanity up so that we too can have Father's inheritance. So why are we thumping our feet like the eldest brother of the prodigal son story, refusing to go into the feast, a community of love, to enter into a relationship where we have done nothing to earn it? Or perhaps we have done everything to screw it up. We can go into that because we are beloved, unconditionally and completely loved by God. So this morning, we're invited again into that relationship of mystery at Word and at the Lord's table, where his body will be broken, where we will behold him and receive him by faith in the Holy Spirit. It's not about information. It's about relationship. What are we waiting for? Amen.